You've probably seen this headline in a number of places. The middle class is disappearing in America, but they're not really just going missing. Most of them are falling into poverty. Some are rising into the ranks of the wealthy. A new study from Stanford University collected four decades of census data from more than 100 of the country's biggest metropolitan areas. Here's Sean Reardon. He's one of the study's authors.
We found that the number of families, the proportion of families who live in neighborhoods where most of the families are poor, roughly doubled over the last 40 years, and the number of families who live in neighborhoods where most of the families are rich has also doubled over the last 40 years. So there's twice as many of these either poor or high-income neighborhoods, and correspondingly a lot fewer mixed-income, middle-income neighborhoods than there used to be.
A lot of you seem to understand this and from your own personal experience. Here's Al from Oklahoma City. He says, I consider myself part of the middle class, which resembles the herd of unicorns that exists in the U.S. Wherever you find one, you'll generally find the other. Many unicorns have lost their horn and devolved into ordinary plow horses. We in the middle class are suffering from the same fate. And Al, if you're near this herd of unicorns, we're going to need you to send in a picture to our website at thetakeaway.org. This morning, we've got another listener with us, Judy Meister. She's a Takeaway listener from Pittsburgh, Kansas. Good morning, Judy.
Good morning.
Are you currently part of this disappearing middle class?
Well, you know, I'm not sure of that. I definitely feel that my town, it's a real small town, and the boundaries are sort of skewed. So I'm not 100% sure about that aspect of this morning.
All right. Well, let me just ask you then, did you consider yourself to be part of the middle class pre-recession?
Absolutely. Yes, I definitely am part of the middle class. Yes.
So you feel now that you may be falling down out of it?
I'm not sure. I know I feel definitely the pressure of a change in our finances. It doesn't buy as much, let's say, as it did 3 or 4 years ago. But I really wouldn't say I'm going down. I think that in the middle part of America, we may not feel it as much as the bigger cities, you know. And of course, Kansas City is here, which I am very far from. But I don't think that the lines that you're talking about have really hit us right here in our little towns yet. There may be still a distinctive middle class.
Well, let me ask you then, this idea that your money isn't going far enough, that you're kind of really having to stretch in order to make your bills and pay for groceries, is this something that's shared by other people in your community?
Absolutely. Absolutely. We are all talking about it. It's on our lips all the time. We definitely are all feeling that the access and availability of our money for the fun things is a little tighter.
That's Judy Meister. She's a Takeaway listener in Pittsburgh, Kansas. Also with us this morning is Jane Kolodinsky. She's chair of the Community Development and Applied Economics Department at the University of Vermont. Jane, good morning.
Good morning, Celeste.
You know, I wonder what exactly this means. We're getting more and more research that backs up this idea that middle-class neighborhoods and middle-class people are going the way of all flesh in the United States. What exactly does that mean?
Well, I think that it has some definite implications beyond individual neighborhoods for middle class or the shrinking middle class individual. You know, our country was built on the middle class and their growing disposable incomes and their ability to purchase goods and services in the marketplace, which meant that factories could grow and people could live beyond subsistence levels and businesses could thrive.
Well, let me play you another comment from Sean Reardon. Sean Reardon, again, to remind you, is one of the study's authors from Stanford that looked at four decades of census data to arrive at this conclusion that middle-class neighborhoods are disappearing. Here's what he had to say.
The higher-income families who have more resources to invest in their communities and invest on behalf of their kids, it's more likely now that their investments are only going to benefit the children from higher-income families and that lower-income children aren't going to benefit from those sort of public investments in schools and parks and police services and things like that that folks with more money make. So that risks sort of increasing inequality even more and making the American dream sort of less and less possible.
So Jane Kolodinsky of the University of Vermont, he's talking about not just income inequality, but actually the generations to come who just simply can't ever rise up that, I mean, not able to pull themselves up by their bootstraps.
Yes, I would absolutely agree with that. So whereas in the last century we've been upwardly mobile, it appears that we are becoming downwardly mobile as we move on. And as he said, it's not only within those particular neighborhoods. There's a huge ripple effect out to the rest of society in terms of lower education, less public investment. As he said, there's no need to invest in public parks in low-income neighborhoods if the upper classes can keep them in their own neighborhoods.
Is this all reversible? Can we fix it?
Can we fix it? You know, my own little tongue-in-cheek idea about that is instead of raising taxes, maybe we should give tax breaks to bring our jobs back to the United States, because unless the middle class have jobs in order to gain the income that they need to spend in the marketplace, because that's the way we measure prosperity in the United States, we're just going to continue on our downward spiral. You've got to have disposable income in order to spend it.
That's Jane Kolodinsky. She's chair of the Community Development and Applied Economics Department at the University of Vermont. Judy Meister, let me go back to you again. Judy Meister, a takeaway listener from Pittsburgh, Kansas. Judy, let me ask you, do you think the American dream is less reachable now by everyone in the United States?
You know, I'm a really hard person to disappoint, and I would have to believe that the Americans are going to pull out of this. It may take 5 years, and it may take 10, and maybe there'll be, equally hard times, but I just don't see us staying here. And maybe I'm a dreamer. I'm not really sure, but I think we do pull ourselves up by our bootstraps and we'll find a way. Not that I think that the government overall is going to help a great deal, but I think that, you know, we the people will.
That's Judy Meister, a takeaway listener in Pittsburgh, Kansas, struggling herself but still optimistic. Judy, thank you so much. And Jane, thank you as well.
Thank you.
We want to get your story, the story of your neighborhood, the story of your house. Are you part of the shrinking middle class? If you're disappearing, where are you going? Give us a call at 877-8-MY-TAKE, or you can post your comment to thetakeaway.org.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.